Well, it's finally here. We've only been talking about it for a couple of months, but it's finally here. It is Vision Sunday. You know, again, I want to just thank the church for allowing myself and our family to have some time off together. As some of you know, it wasn't as restful as I would have liked. There were more events than we had not anticipated, but it was still a nice time to be able to just take a break, and we truly enjoyed that. You know, one of those exciting things that happened while we were while I was on break is I finally got to go and see my optometrist. And, you know, they had only been contacting me for like months saying, dude, you are so overdue for your eye checkup. You have to come in. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And so finally, we did it. I went in and we had my optometrist appointment. And it's so appropriate as I think about today in terms of it being called Vision Sunday. Because as for me, as I turned out, unfortunately, in 3 years, it's been 3 years since my last eye checkup, okay? It's supposed to be annual. And I discovered my vision has actually deteriorated in 3 years. So while my glasses were good and still, you know, could see, I couldn't really, didn't realize that over 3 years it actually had deteriorated. And so next Sunday, I will be sporting new glasses. You know, it's a scam. I tell you, it's a scam. You know, you never wear glasses so they improve. They wear glasses because for the next, all the rest of your life, you're always going to be buying a new pair of glasses every 3 years. It's a scam, right? It's a scam. Anyway, well, that's what we're talking about here today. I think, you know, in the life of Killarney Park, over the years and decades, I'm sure we've had different visions and different mission statements. And definitely, I believe God has been faithful in the life and the ministry of Killarney Park. And so just as I'm about to get new glasses tomorrow and put on a new prescription that gives me a clearer vision, hopefully. In the same way, what we're doing here today is the same thing. We've had a pair of glasses that we've been wearing for the last decade or so, and as we've been going along as we've been, and now we're going to be starting with putting on with a new pair of glasses that hopefully gives us greater clarity and vision for what God has for this next stage of life for Killarney Park. And so the passage that really has been driving us is in this next slide here, is in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, which I think for most of us, we probably read this in the NIV version, and typically we've only focused on the first part of Proverbs 29, verse 18. And it's typically said something to the fact of, if people don't have vision, if God's people don't have vision, they will perish, right? And so that's typically where it ends. We like this version that was written in the Message, not interpreted, but basically Eugene Peterson, who was professor at spiritual theology at Regent College, gave us a new translation in that he entitled The Message that was more for contemporary day. And it says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And I think that is such a really powerful verse that encaptures what it is that we're seeking to do as we engage in our revitalization process. As I mentioned at our spring AGM, if there's one word that has really resonated or been repeated over and over for the last year is the word revitalization. Just as I am getting a new pair of glasses and having better vision, the idea here is the same, is that, you know, if we're wearing glasses that don't allow us to see clearly, we will stumble, right? But what this passage or this verse actually stipulates too is that when we can't see what God is doing, and that's what vision is about. It's not really about our vision as much as it is seeking God's vision for what He has for the life and ministry of a particular congregation, wherever it is located or planted. And we truly believe that the vision that God has revealed to us is something that really speaks to the heart of who we are as a community of faith here at 48th and Kerr. So some of us, this may be new to all of you, and for some of us, you've heard this before. But just to give us a recap is, how did we get here today? How did we get to Vision Sunday? Well, just a quick overview. Essentially, this has been a process that we've undertaken over the past year. It started with initial conversations with our conference, which our denomination conference, which is the British Columbia Conference of MV Churches, and their recommendation to consult with an organization called City to City Australia. And of course, we were wondering, why are we engaging with somebody who's like 5,000 miles away down south? And the reality was is that the conference recommended C2C Australia partly because of the fact that they felt that they would be more in sync with us in terms of our values and just approach to life, and also the recognition that the secularization of Australia and Canada are pretty much on the same trajectory. So there really was a lot of synergy there. We then had a congregational approval to initiate the process in December, and then some of us recall the 5 or 6 surveys that we all had to do that went through in January and February, and then we had our initial site visit and interviews with our consultant, Andrew Kete, in March. Well, we thought that was just, you know, the beginning of it all, and that would be great. He would give us a great assessment, and we just go with that. However, it was more involved than that. We ended up having an initial report from our consultant. We then met with our consultant, and when I say we, I would be the board and ministry leaders of the church to review the report and recommendations. And then this past June, we even had, now we've gone through this whole process, now let's, how do we now develop this vision? And then in July, we then started to put together the revision document, and we then formed a revitalization subcommittee. Wow, such a big title, right? Actually, no, it's not. Really, all it is that we're coming alongside the board to implement some of the identified processes and initiatives and milestones that we had identified during the divisioning process. And so this morning, we're going to be having Peter as well as Chris, and they're going to be joining me in sharing this vision statement as well as some of the initiatives that we're going to be introducing this fall. I would like to say up front that a lot of what we're sharing is obviously a work in progress. We're continuing to always tweak it. We're always having conversations with the board to ensure that we're all on the same page. And if you look at the next slide there, it kind of gives you what the role and purpose of the revitalization subcommittee is all about. Really, it's about advancing the project to ensure that we're progressing in these initiatives and milestones. We're going to be reporting to and seeking guidance from the board. And then, of course, to also encourage you, the congregation, to be engaged in the process. This is not something where it's just a handful of people kind of dragging everybody along. That's just not going to work. This is really something where we, as the full body of Christ here, again, at 48th and Kerr, this involves all of you. Like, it just can't be a few people. It is the entire body here, and that then we then are able to hopefully achieve the vision and goals. So, here we go. Here is the big vision statement, and this is the long-term vision statement that we're going to be moving forward. And it is, we envision a spiritually vibrant and growing intercultural faith community of Jesus followers in Southeast Vancouver that loves its neighbors and actively shares the hope of Christ in everyday life. I know, that's a mouthful. And I was expecting a little bit more. Woo! No. Wow. Okay, people. Here's the sidewalk version, okay? So if somebody comes up to you and says, so, tell me, what is the vision of Killarney Park Church? You can say, we are a vibrant, intercultural faith community sharing the hope of Jesus. You can do that, right? Right? There we go. I think somewhere there was some writing communication thing that says that if you're going to have a simple sentence that people can remember, it has to be 10 words or less. So count that with me. A, vibrant, intercultural, faith, community, sharing the hope of Jesus. 10! There we go! Woo! We did it. So that is our proposed vision statement. And we hope that this is something that really engages you and inspires you to be involved in this next stage of the church. Now, some of you also know that my other gig, I have a side gig, is I am also a professor of intercultural studies at Pacific Life Bible College. And typically, whenever we introduce new terminology or new sentences like this, new concepts, I always have to explain what each of these terms mean. And as we said at the very beginning, that this is not a vision statement that just popped in our heads, but really something that speaks to the heart of our church, heart of who we are, and we believe that this is God's vision that He has implanted in our hearts, and it comes and it's rooted in Scripture. And so the key words here are spiritually vibrant. We're really, I think as Chris explained it and described it, it's not about the fact that we're all going to be like all of a sudden like, you know, vibrant people and jumping around and that sort of thing, okay? No, that's not really what we're trying to emphasize here. No rolling in the aisles, that sort of thing. What we're really talking about here is, I think what Chris really expressed in his heart was the fact that we're so alive in our love of God, that Christ is doing such an amazing work in our lives, that we're just so eager to live out and share our faith with others. That's really what it is, you know. And so what we've written here is living with a sense of deep aliveness, connection and meaning that flows from our Christian beliefs, practices, and inner life. It's less about rigid doctrines and more about the quality of one's spirit or one's spiritual life, how alive, how awake, and grounded you feel. The other word that is also important is the word growing. And the idea here, again, is both not just about numerical growth, but a desire for strong and rooted and grounded spiritual growth. And obviously, this is also rooted in Scripture, where God actually expects His people to grow in their faith. As He wrote to the first Corinthian, or the Corinthian church, we're not meant to be babies in our faith, but to be fully mature Christians and fully mature disciples of Jesus. And so we have here becoming more like Christ in our thoughts, our attitudes, and actions through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's about maturing in faith, deepening our relationship with God, and letting His truth shape our whole life. The other piece that's really a key value of Killarney Park, and as you can see, it's even written on our banner here, that we are a church that really desires to bridge cultures for Jesus. And so a key piece is being an intercultural faith community. And I hope to expand on this in the next few weeks as we will begin a sermon series that will unpack all of these key words that are part of our vision statement. But just for today, what does it mean to be an intercultural faith community in our multicultural Vancouver context? It means a group of believers from diverse ethnic, cultural, and linguistic backgrounds who intentionally interact, learn from each other, and shape the community together. This goes beyond being multicultural, where different groups coexist. The next two themes that come up are love its neighbors. And of course, we obviously know where this comes from, straight out of the Sermon on the Mount. It's also the great one of the great commandments that were love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. The phrasing here is also very specific because we're stating loves its neighbors. And we truly believe, as the board and and the ministry leaders who gathered for the revisioning process, that we are a church that's called to love its neighbors here where we are in the Killarney neighborhood. We truly want to love our neighbors here. Now, that doesn't mean that when you go back to where you live, where you work, that you don't love your neighbors, okay? Please understand that. But truly, we want to be a church, a congregation, a faith body here that loves the community of Killarney Park, of Killarney. And so it's going to be exciting about that. So here's where definition is: treating others with the same care, dignity, and compassion that we desire for ourselves, reflecting God's love in practical relational ways. And then here's the last piece: actively shares the hope of Christ. I think it's great that in our mission statement here at Killarney Park, that we seek to be a place that's very welcoming. You know that when you come, whoever walks in the door, you're going to be welcomed. You're going to be cared for. We invite people to share the gifts and talents that you have for the building up of the body of Christ. And this vision statement pushes us a little further and says, yes, we want the world to know about Jesus through how we love and care for one another. But this is also a more active approach that inspires us, hopefully motivates us in communicating the good news of Jesus Christ through both words and actions so that others may encounter God's love, truth, and hope. It's taking steps to witness, invite, and engage others with the gospel. So, moving forward then, how will we start to implement this new vision statement? Well, firstly, obviously, we want to continue to engage with God in prayer. And so we will go to God by engaging in a season of prayer and fasting for this new church vision. And so what's going to happen is, as some of us are already aware, we typically have a prayer emphasis week that kicks off the new season of church ministry. And so again, we will do that from September 15th to the 19th, so the following week. And there will be focused prayer on the themes of the vision statement. A devotional will be prepared for you. We will meet on Zoom at noon every day from Monday to Friday. And then that following Friday night, there will be a praise and prayer evening as well. We're looking at creating prayer cards that you guys can keep for your own individual time of prayer, and also when we get together in small groups, which I'm going to invite Chris in a few seconds here to come and share about the importance of small groups. So, as some of you are aware, one of the things that we've been doing over the year, or the last couple of years, is we've had a bi-monthly prayer meeting on Tuesday evenings. Well, that's going to be on hold now as we engage, as we encourage everyone to be involved in a small group, and that's where this time of prayer will be encouraged to happen. And lastly, at the end of the month, every month, the fourth Sunday of every month, we're going to have a monthly, dedicated monthly prayer meeting following the service. Again, to pray over the vision for the whole year. And I do hope that everyone here will engage in that. Well, the next piece that's also vital is small groups. And I'm going to invite Chris to come up and share about that. This is one of the key initiatives that came out of our consultant, in our time with our consultant, that we will need an approach to develop spiritual growth, strengthen fellowship, and provide the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus. So, Chris, take it away.
Hello, everyone. Well, you have it on the slide there. I want to talk about three words. I want to talk about what, why, and who. Okay, talking about small groups. First of all, the small groups, we're anticipating initially at least two English-speaking small groups in the evenings, possibly more as needed. And in fact, we're talking about the possibility of having a daytime one for those of you who are perhaps retired, not comfortable going out at night. We're considering that possibility as well. There's also going to be a Mandarin language one as well, led by Mary. So that's the what. At least two small groups started, and they'll be weekly. So the one that I was previously leading, and I won't be leading in the upcoming season one, but it's now going to be weekly, starting in the fourth week of September, as on the slide. Okay, and the new thing also is that in this phase of the life of our small groups, we're all going to do the same material, that is the ripple effect. And so that gets to the why. So you might say, small groups, that's nothing new. And we admit, there's nothing novel here about small groups. Everybody, all churches talk about small groups. We did small groups, so what's new? So one thing is that we are taking a different posture towards small groups, whereas before it was, if you feel the need, we would encourage you to join a small group. Whereas now we're considering small groups to be integral to the life of our church and what will help us achieve our vision. So that's what's new about small groups, and the fact that we have this new material. So in this first phase, the emphasis will be a little bit more on learning, but there'll also be the emphasis on connecting as well. Small groups will, along with the reasons you would normally imagine small groups being good, in terms of encouraging you in your faith to get into God's Word and pray for one another, and etc., there's two key needs that we've really identified in this visioning, is that we need to connect better with people who come to our church. If you're those who are newer to this church, how do they connect into the life of our church? Small groups is the answer to that. So that has a very current need. And the other is that many of you, and myself included, would admit, we're not great about sharing the hope of Christ. It sounds really good. Who's going to do that? We are going to do that. So we need some help with that. And our small groups will not only train us and give us practice within the group, but also be the place where we pray for one another, encourage one another, report back, how's it going? We can pray into the lives of our neighbors and the stores where we visit, etc. So there's a very current need. And I think at this juncture in the life of our church, we are in a new place. We may have talked about this before, but I think many of us sense this urgency. We have to do something different as a church. There's that sense of urgency that is propelling us. And the desire to see people won for Christ. And so that this is the why. There's a lot more I could say. I could say on the vibrant faith part of you. You know, I don't know. If you're like me, I could say some weeks I'm like, wow, I really connected with God. This is great. Other weeks I'm like, I don't know what there is to say. You know, I'm a Christian. And I did read the Bible, but I don't have anything, wow, stories. So when you get together as a small group, though, I bet there's somebody who has something in their life that was great and is a story worth telling. And that becomes your story. It's not just their story. When you share that as a small group. Anyway, that's the why. And now the who. You might have guessed it. It's all of you. We are really hoping that the majority of people in our congregation choose to be part of a small group here at Killarney. So if you're a newcomer to the church and you're wondering, I'm just feeling out the people here, how do I get connected? Please come on out to small groups. There's many of us who are regular. Some of you have been recently in a small group, so that's a no-brainer. That's easy for you. But what if you weren't previously in this last year involved in a small group? You might have many reasons why that's the case. Life is busy. There's actually no felt need to be involved in a small group. I have something else going on in my life. Or maybe you even felt somehow disappointed by the small group experience recently. So I'd encourage you to take those reasons to God and see what new thing God might do in small groups. Hopefully you can see in all this there might be something for you in small groups. But even if you don't immediately see what's in it for you, we encourage you to come out to support small groups so you can feed into the life of somebody else, even if you're not sure what's in it for you. So I encourage you to prayerfully think about that. If we go to the next slide, it's about the ripple effect. So again, in this phase of the life of small groups for the fall, we'll be following this specific material ripple effect that will prepare us to be better at sharing the hope of Christ. So you see, it's an evangelism program that seeks to shift the evangelistic culture in the church for effective and sustained impact. Going beyond just training people in the how-to, is there another slide? I forgot. Okay. In the next slide? That's it. Okay. So it helps those who are eager to evangelize in the congregation and to foster a new season of fruitfulness and better prepare your church to proclaim the gospel. So it's about changing our life patterns and structure as well, not just some tools and tips and a new method for sharing the gospel. So this is what you can hope for in the fall, and this 8-week first module will complete, wrap up by the end of November. Back to you, Sean.
All right. So who's going to join a small group at the end of the month? Yes, we're going to have sign-up sheets available once we've solidified the times and dates and places. So this is an 8-week commitment from the fourth week of September, and it should end by mid-November. So yes, I do hope that everybody here is excited and will be a part of this. So as Chris mentioned, part of all of this vision statement and these initiatives is because we truly believe in this next statement here. It's important that people who are part of our church, who've been coming here either as regulars or as newcomers, are welcomed and want to return. You know, one of the statements I often say is that I don't think there's any church out there who would actually say that they're not a welcoming church, right? Most people say, yeah, that was a welcoming church, that was a friendly church. And I think we're very good at welcoming people, but we also want to be able to create belonging, I think. And that's really what we're striving to go towards. We seek to develop and implement a pastorally sensitive welcoming and inclusion pathway to belonging. This is not about joining a cult, all right? I am not your cult leader. What we're really saying is that typically new people have joined our church, that they kind of just take the time and they just naturally find their own way through the body here. And we through meeting with our consultant, he was saying, I think we need to be a little bit more intentional about that. How do we orient both regulars as well as newcomers to the life and ministry of Killarney Park? And so we need to be put a little bit more emphasis on how do we then move us along into this place of shepherding all of us into a place where we're all able to find a space of belonging. And so that's really what it's all about. So a year from now, yes, I realize it feels like what are you talking about? We just started in September. But really, we really do have a long-term vision. And then, so the goal is that a year from now, by mid-2026, Killarney Park will have seen weekly small groups become a beloved norm in the rhythms of church life, with 75% of regular attenders, so we're looking at about 45 out of 60, doing life together in the context of no fewer than three small groups. So that's really achievable, right, folks? We already have two. I'm sure we can have a third one by next year, and then hopefully by the following September, we'll be able to add another one, and we'll be adding a fourth small group. So it's not that impossible, right? Can we, as Bob the Builder says, if anybody remembers what that is, there we go. Yes, can we build it? Yes, we can. And the other piece also is that something that myself and Peter will be working on is developing a formal leadership development program that uses an intercultural approach to develop new ministry and small group leaders. This really speaks to my heart. I really have a deep desire to equip and empower and develop new ministers, new leaders, new church leaders that have an intercultural, not just awareness, not even competency, but also intelligence as well, intercultural intelligence. And so I think that's something we really do need in our multicultural context. And if you realize, as you look around our neighborhoods, we're becoming more and more multicultural. And it's not just in Canada, it's all over the world. And if there's anything I think that's relevant for 21st century Christianity, is more development of intercultural ministry leaders. Well, 10 years seems like a long way as we talk about this vision statement, and we even have a one-year plan, a one-year one-year goal. There's going to be milestones along the way, and so I'm going to invite Peter now to come forward. Peter is such a talented man, so wise, and he's got so much experience in program management. I really looked for a bullwhip, and I couldn't find one. But I was going to give him a bullwhip this morning, because his job is to basically whip me so that we kept going on track here. All that to say, he's volunteered to become our project manager for the implementation of these initiatives and milestones. And so would you like to speak a few words to what these milestones will be for the next 3 years?
Yeah. So just before I do that, many of you don't know me. And I think that the process we're going through as we do this is to create the trust from the congregation that you can believe that God is blessing this process and that we are going to be honest and accountable to you. And so I just want to quickly tell you who I am. So I am a Christian of approximately 50 years from South Africa, been in Canada for 35 years now, have been in a part of many, many leadership structures in the church, have led some of those structures, and also in my secular life have been involved in leadership development, have skill training in that area. And so when this started to happen about a year ago, I tapped Sherman on the shoulder and said, I'd really be interested in helping. As many of you know, our plans for where we would live have recently changed, so we know that we will be in Vancouver, Burnaby, for at least another year, so that's why I'm able to make that commitment. So, I can't see that far. Yeah. So, here's a question to you. What do you understand by milestones? They are markers. So how do we know that God is blessing what we're doing to try and achieve the vision? We look at the markers. We say, this is what we are intending to do, small groups, a better welcoming system, ensuring that we pray and cast vision more, and we will also market ourselves better. So how do we know that we're doing that? Well, we will know by a change in behavior in the people. People will be closer. People will be fellowshipping more. People will be growing spiritually. People will be interested and enthusiastic about inviting others to attend our church and to be part of their small group. So why do we have milestones? And you could see them up there. We have milestones because almost certainly over the next year, some of these things are not going to work out. And we're going to say, oh, it didn't work. Well, what it's meant to do, the milestone or the marker is meant to do, is to say, don't give up, change your approach, maybe change the strategy, or more emphasis needed here. So we think that it's critical that if we're going to implement anything, we have to measure it, we have to come back to you and say, it's working or it's not working. And so that will be a lot of what Sherman and I will be doing. We already have a certain approach to keeping ourselves accountable, but I think you can expect that occasionally we will be coming back to say, this is not working, or yeah, this is great, but we need more of this. I think that's about what I needed to say. Thank you.
So, as we conclude, as we show you the vision statement once again, this is all a work in progress. We really do work together with the board, ministry leaders that we have. We invite you in the congregation to be a part of this process. We're going to be upfront with you. We will constantly have updates all the time. You feel free to talk to myself, Chris, Peter, any members of the board. We may even tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, would you like to be a part of this part or this new phase or this new initiative? This doesn't mean that all the other things that we've been doing at the church are going to suddenly just drop. That's not true. We're still going to have youth group. We're still going to have Women with Purpose. We've got this ESL class, and of course we're going to continue having our Sunday services. So all of this will still continue as we have these concurrent initiatives become the focus of our vision, our focus and direction for this year, and hopefully for the next couple of years as we seek to hopefully have it grow and develop. Does this excite you? Wow. I hope it does. All right. So let's do this one more time. What is the short sidewalk version of Killarney Park? A vibrant intercultural faith community sharing the hope of Jesus. There we go. I hope that really inspires you, motivates you. I'm going to invite Clarence to come on up, and he'll lead us now into a time of prayer. And I really do hope that you, as we spend this next part of the service in prayer, that you would pray for this vision statement and all the initiatives, because without prayer, we can do nothing, right? You know, God says, pray unceasingly. Oh, yeah, unceasingly, right? Yeah, pray unceasingly, and also, you know, come to Him with all of your requests. And He hears us. So we need prayer. Please pray with us. Please pray for me. Please pray for the revitalization subcommittee. Pray for the board and all the ministry leaders that are going to be helping to move and fulfill this vision. So thank you.